You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hiya folks, welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's Sunday the 19th of July 2020. Unfortunately, we have a little bit of a problem. We have a no-show from the guest at the moment, Becky. I don't know what the problem is there. And she's not online for some reason. I don't know whether her system's down or there's an issue there. So we'll give it a few minutes anyway and see how we get on. And hopefully Becky will come online and we'll be able to have the interview with her. Otherwise, it's going to be a very short show. So, so the lady that was I'm planning to have on tonight is a lady called Becky Barron. She's a healer and investigator and how the Matrix works against us. So that's the plan anyway. We'll see what happens. Great day today. Great weather, I have to say. Fantastic. Well, let's find out what the communication channels are and we'll go through them bits and pieces.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
So you know the website there, it's circleofwhitelight.com. The website, a lot of people get confused and sometimes they say circleofwhitelightradio.com, but it is circleofwhitelight.com. And thanks to everybody who does the who sends in the donations on Patreon and also on PayPal. It's much appreciated that everybody supports the radio show. I do a blog. I do a blog on Patreon every Monday when I do a show. And I just do a little kind of blog on the show and a few bits and pieces. So if you sign up to Patreon and become a patron of Circle of White Light, obviously you get access to that blog. Unfortunately, I can't do that for PayPal. So I'm sorry about that. It's just the way it is with PayPal. You can't actually do a blog, but it is what it is, I suppose. Okay, so let's get on. There's a few things that I have to talk about. Anyway, before we look at hopefully, you know, if Becky comes online, hopefully she'll come online. We'll go to musical break and we'll give her a few calls and we'll see how we get on. Right. OK, so the Irish Times, there's an article there about credit unions and it says that credit unions seek new act to allow them offer real alternatives to banks. Well, that's great. Obviously, the credit unions are still controlled by the central bank, so that would kind of have to change, really. So it says, League of Credit Unions wants to provide financing for social housing and retrofits. The new government has been urged to amend legislation so that credit unions can provide up to $900 million in financing for social housing. The Irish League of Credit Unions, which represents 226 credit unions, also said it wants its assets to be made available to help with the retrofitting of 500,000 older homes. In a new report, the ILCU also called for a reduction in capital reserving requirements from 10% to 8% to allow it to provide expanded mortgage and business lending. It also said all regulatory levies should be suspended for 12 months in recognition of the huge cost that credit unions have faced during the pandemic. The ILC said it wants the new government to introduce a new credit union act that would allow it to become a real alternative to traditional commercial banking. Financial muscle is the next title. It'll be fantastic if they actually did that. It would be brilliant if they came back and the credit union became a challenge for the banks. As I say, we all know that they're controlled by the actual central bank. And years ago, the credit union was always called the poor man's bank. And you could go in and get a loan and there's no really questions. If it was anything under 7,000 euros, or £7,000 at the time. You could go in, fill out a bit of paperwork and talk to somebody and they go, yeah, that's fine, there you go. Now, if you want to get something like €150 out, you have to fill things out in triplicate. And this has all got to do with the banking system. I just don't like the way, you know, the way it works at the moment. The ILCU president, Jerry Thompson, said credit unions have the financial muscle required to support communities through the difficult recovery period ahead. So, well, they do. A lot of people use the credit unions and a lot of people are turning away from the actual banks because of, you know, what they're doing and going to credit unions. It says, he said, they use the huge potential of credit unions to create an even stronger cooperative or community model of banking, which provides a valuable alternative to traditional commercial banks, exists and has long been discussed, he said. In the post-COVID recovery period, this is needed more than ever. But while the movement is itself working to make this happen, it also needs a more proactive and can-do approach from government, Mr. Thompson added. So, yeah, I totally agree. Maybe there should be competition for the banks. I think it something should be done. Okay, The Sun. The Sun.ie, mask up coronavirus in Ireland. Face coverings likely to be made compulsory in shops and other indoor settings. Well, we know that's the case. I think it's as of from tomorrow now, you have to go out and you, when you go shopping, you have to put the mask on. And yeah, that's going to be fun. Wearing face coverings in shops and other indoor settings is likely to be made compulsory following a meeting of cabinet this evening. RTE report that ministers will discuss a proposal to extend the regulation requiring face coverings on public transport, which came into effect last Monday. Now, you probably all know there was a chap called Andy, and he was on the bus, and he had a disabled card. So he actually, the busman knew he was disabled because he had a disabled card, and he said he couldn't put a mask on. And obviously, this was exaggerated, saying there was a big argument when there wasn't. He was on the bus. He sat down on the bus. The busman went and called the police. The police came over, came to the bus and went on the bus and started saying about, you have to put the mask on. If you put the mask on, we leave it at that. But Andy was adamant that he didn't want to put the mask on because he was, you know, he was there was medical issues there why he couldn't put the mask on. So the police, the Gardaí got off the bus. Then Andy got off the bus because he heard a little girl getting upset because he was a dad himself. And he got off the bus. And when he got off the bus, the police arrested them for public disorder. Not for because he didn't wear the mask. So it wasn't because of that law that he wasn't wearing the mask on public transport. They did him for public disorder. And he's in court in Castlebar on Tuesday, I believe, to stand up for this trumped up charge from the Gardaí, which is really unbelievable. I mean, really, is that what the guards are doing now? Is that what the taxpayers paying for? That the Gardaí are concerned about whether people wear a mask or not? With all the crime and the criminals that are out there, they're worried about somebody wearing a mask? I mean, this is just ridiculous. It really is unbelievable. It really is ridiculous. Anyway, that's what happened there. RTE report that ministers will discuss a proposal to extend the regulation requiring face coverings on public transport, which came into effect last Monday. That was last Monday. Last Monday for the transport. This Monday for going into shops wearing a mask. And I mean, what's going to happen? Is there going to be the mask police at every shop in Ireland? And if you go to the door and you don't have a mask on, they're not going to let you in. Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. Members of public who refuse to wear a face covering on public transport face fines of 2,500 or 6 months in jail. What's a great way to make revenue, isn't it? It really is. The new regulations for transport came into force just last Monday. The government is also set to decide today whether or not pubs will be allowed to reopen next week as part of the financial phase of lifting COVID-19 restrictions. The National Public Health Emergency Team met yesterday to finalise advice that was given to the government on whether Ireland let's see, government on whether Ireland has fought back the COVID-19 outbreak enough to reopen pubs and enter the fourth and final stage of lockdowns. So there you go. Unbelievable. And of course, they're talking about the second wave and what's going to happen there. So, you know, whether they bring out the second wave, whether it happens, and they're talking about, I was speaking to somebody today on Facebook, I won't mention the person's name, and they said they were talking to a scientist, and they said that they doctored a bubonic plague. They've doctored a version of that. And if they release that bubonic plague, then it's obviously going to cause issues. So, and that was what was also predicted, that they'd release the COVID as a little practice to see, will the people be compliant? Will they do what they're told? And of course, if they don't, then obviously they'll try and release the second one. Now, hopefully we won't get to that stage, and hopefully we won't get to the stage where there's going to be vaccines. But you never know. You really never know. You know, we'll have to see what happens. Hopefully more stuff will be exposed and more stuff will be talked about. And we'll see what happens there. I see Steve is on the chat room there. Steve, if you want to, if you fancy jumping on Skype there, I'll give you a shout. We'll go to a musical break. Okay, dailymail.co.uk. Real COVID idiots. This is what they're calling us, COVID idiots. People who refuse to wear a mask or comply with social distancing have lower cognitive ability, new study shows. So this is what they're trying to do now. They're trying to say that if you don't wear a mask, you have a mental condition. You're a bit simple because you're not getting it. This is the whole psychology now of what they're doing. Study looked at why some people didn't follow policies amid the coronavirus pandemic. The team surveyed Americans in March when the outbreak began. And let me go on there. They found that it depends on the capacity of your working memory. Those with a low capacity are unable to make effortless decisions. This memory also determines your intelligence and decision making. Oh my God, this is what they're doing now. So they're going to get people who wear masks to start insulting people who don't wear masks and actually affect their, saying they've got cognitive issues, that they're a bit silly and a bit stupid and you're not getting it. So this is the whole plan. This is the whole game behind it. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Okay, during the week, you probably heard the news that, I'll just say my week, but you've probably heard the news about Australia and a terror block. Hello to everybody in the chat room, by the way. I know Peter's on there, Peter's in Australia. And there's a terror block over in Australia, which has several loads of people in it. I think 3,000 people, something like that, I think. And it was, there's no people being let in and let out. If you have a dog, you can bring the dog for a walk, but it's basically like, you know, lockdown on this tower. And basically, the information was during the week, there was information about lockdown in Australia where 3,000 people were not allowed to go in and out of the tower block. So I asked a guest that I had on previously called Samantha from Australia, who was a guest on the show, and she's based in Australia, and she heard from three different sources the following information. Now, as I say, I know Peter on the chat room lives in Oz, and he also confirmed that something is going on with these terror blocks, and I think you can probably confirm that, Peter. So this message has gone around on the internet, and so I'm going to read it out to you, and again, you have to make your own mind up and use a bit of discernment. And it says, I couldn't see who, but there were big tents set up. I personally think they are getting pulled out at night. This has got to do with kids and human trafficking, by the way. So the person says, I personally think they are getting pulled out at night because most of these kids have never seen daylight. I was there last night around 10 p.m. There were 10 fire trucks, ambulance services, and shitloads of cops, SES. From a guy in Melbourne, something about Melbourne tunnel system. Kids are getting pulled out of paedophile tunnels across Melbourne. Huge operation. I personally saw an infant transport vehicle, which I never knew existed, in Flemington Commissioning Flats. In Flemington Commissioning Flats. So this guy thinks, on what he's seen, that 10 fire trucks, ambulance services, and a shitload of cops. So could it be that this is, and I think this tower is full of immigrants. That's what the rumour is as well. I don't have that confirmed. I just heard somebody say it. And so is this the case that that could be got to do with human trafficking and the tunnel system? I really don't know. More research on that probably, you know. We'll have to see what happens. Okay, every year on and around the 8th day of the 8th month of the year, August 8th, there is a cosmic alignment called the Lion's Gate. I heard an awful lot about this Lion's Gate and people talking about it. And I know Kim from the Foundation mentioned it in passing. She mentioned the Lion's Gate. And I wasn't too sure what that was and what I meant. So I got a bit of information about this Lion's Gate. So the Lion's Gate is a time of increased cosmic energy flowing between the physical and spiritual realms. The Lion's Gate has ties to ancient Egypt and for thousands of years has been observed and honoured as a time of a great energetic influx and activation. This gateway is marked by an alignment between the Earth and the star Sirius. As the star Sirius raises in the sky, Orion's belt directly aligns with the Pyramid of Giza. And from our perspective on Earth, it appears that Sirius, the brightest star we can see, comes closer to the Earth. I would like to. So that's basically what the Lion's Gate is. So it's an alignment that's happening, and between, I believe it's the 28th of July and the 18th of August. It's where it's going to get quite heavy. A lot of things going to be going on energetically. So keep an eye out for that. Watch out for that. See how you get on. Stay balanced at all times, obviously. Because some people are feeling the energies and feeling different effects from it. And there you go. I'd also like to thank Dougie and Mark, who have kindly purchased a secondhand broadcasting host device from eBay for Circle of White Light Radio. So once I get the phone lines back up and running, I have to chase them up, I'll be able to take calls again. So that's, I have a few bits and pieces to talk about as well, still carrying on. But a big thank you to Mark and Dougie for chipping in and doing that. It really is appreciated. And when the device comes in, yesterday we've had massive power cuts. That's why when I sent out the information regarding the show tonight, I was a bit concerned about the power, whether the power was going to stay up, because all day yesterday the power was going up and down all the time. And we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was going to be the state of play today for the show. But lucky enough, it's been up since last night and has stayed up. But I'm in an area that seems to be very constant. It seems to be getting more regular for some reason. I don't know why. So I think I'll have to start looking at my solar panels and my solar chargers and start looking at a way that I can self-power my house or have limited power. Now, myself and Steve have designed solar generators and we have used these on a limited basis in our houses and they do work. But that's only designed for an emergency to last about 10 hours. If you want something to last a bit longer, it's going to have to be more substantial and it's going to have to be bigger batteries, bigger storage, maybe get it to last for about 2 or 3 days, maybe longer, I don't know. It depends on how long a power cut would go down for. I know some people, they've had it before where it's been a few days when power cuts go down. So it would just make sense to do that. And if you can kind of live off grid with the power as well, to a certain extent, if you could, you know, switch it over. I do know somebody, and it was an ex-guest on the show that was on the show a good few years ago. And I went and visited his house. I won't say where it is. And he's actually using the system. And the only two things that he can't use on his battery bank is his cooker and his shower, because they're taking the most power. But he said that he doesn't go beyond 80% of the power. It doesn't go below 80% of the power, which is pretty good if he's powering everything else. So if there's a power down or power outage in his area, he doesn't really know. He doesn't know whether that the power goes down, because he's using his backup power, which is fantastic. So that would be the ideal place to go. And more people are beginning to do that. They're beginning to look at an alternative way to do that. So it's interesting and something to look at, I think, down the line with everything else going on. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to a musical break. I'm going to check to see if the guest is available, if Becky's actually come on. And if not, we'll see what we can do.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Hi, folks. Well, there you go. Ultravox. Right. Okay. Unfortunately, Becky is a no-show. And I don't know why that is. I did check with her today. This morning we were talking on Skype, and she clarified the time, checked the time and said everything's okay. And all of a sudden she's not there, and it is what it is, I suppose. We'll find out later on what the problem is, but she's not available. But at no expense spared, I have my brother from another mother who has come on and saved today. Good evening, Steve. How are you doing?
Thanks very much. Yes, brother from another mother. Glad to help. I was listening here anyway, just doing a little bit of work on the PC here. So glad to be able to jump on and, you know, in your moment of need. Well, I mean, I'm sure if the guest comes on, you'll keep an eye on things, because she obviously has good information. I mean, I can you know, gabble on for a little while, but I know this guest has good information. So
yeah, she does. Yeah, she does, and she's been through an awful lot. But she's not used to being on radio shows. I think she's only done one radio show so far. So I know she's a little bit nervous. And I said to her, look, there's no need to be nervous. You know, we just get on and we'll have a chat and everything else. And yeah, maybe the nerves got the better of her, and she just thought, I can't do it. I'm just too nervous, you know, doing a radio show. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess. I'll find out anyway during the week. But thanks for coming on. And there is a few things that I have on the hit list here that we can actually go through and talk about, because there's a number of things that are going on, and I did put them down here so we can actually have a chat about them, and we can go through them. I will say that, just to let you know, that I went down to the farmer's market today, Steve, and I had a quick look around, and there's potential there, I think.
There is potential. That's Alan is speaking, of course, of a farmer's market that we have here in the village of Clonmellon. It's started up a couple of weeks back. And it's going to be run every second week up to, I think it's the end of September. But they do have a couple of different stalls. There's room for twice the amount of stalls actually in there. But from what they're selling, it's all kind of quality, homemade, and, you know, home. There's a guy there, and he does his own furniture, and it's you know, garden furniture, and it's beautiful. There's another guy there from Woodpeckers, and he does garden or home furniture. And I don't know if you managed to actually see a chair. I'm guessing it wasn't purchased. There was a chair on a table that looked very shiny, looked like a kind of chair. If you sat on it, you'd slide off. But he was selling that. He reclaims wood. He makes lovely furniture. And he was selling a beautiful chair for €1,250.
My God.
So, yeah. So there was that. I mean, it was beautiful, I have to say. But, you know, I mean, I was going to buy it, but he didn't have two. And I mean, what's the point in buying one, you know, for when you're old and grey and you're sitting by the fire with your wife? You need two. So I said, maybe another time. He wanted me to leave a deposit, but I said, no. And yeah, but there's a lot of people there selling organic food as well, organic vegetables. A lot of cakes, sweets, treats, stuff that'll rot your teeth. And then there was Moments Bath and Beauty. She's actually a girl in the village here. She makes her own. She's very kind of open-minded, and she's very down-to-earth. You know, a lot of the stuff that we would have touched on, some of the lighter stuff, she's kind of into that sort of thing. So you can have a decent, open-minded conversation with her. But she does all the like bath bombs and sprays that you could use, like say for meditation and stuff like that. So when you're actually in a state of meditation, you'll have these lovely scents. You know, she does all of the like the scented candles and that sort of stuff. But yeah, there is room for potential. I do agree.
Yeah, there's a lot there, and it's something to kind of take into consideration, because with the whole idea, the fact that they're starting with the masks on Monday, Steve, and they're expecting us to wear masks on into the shops, with the market that's open air, that you don't have to wear a mask because it's open air, it's not indoors, that might be the solution for a lot of people, because there's a lot of people saying, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to go in, right. You know. So yep. The open air market might be the way to go. But no, that was good. I just thought I'd drop that in to say I was down there to have a look, and it wasn't too bad. And the other couple of things I just spoke about there, you know, the broadcast host that we had here in the studio, and yeah, the thunderstorm that we had blew it out, sent it over to JK Audio. They said, yeah, it's done and dusted, and it'll cost you, you know, $400-$500 to fix. Sure, you know, what's the point? So thanks to Dougie, who's on the chat room there, and Mark for chipping in and getting the broadcast host. It just means that I need to get my phone lines fixed now at the moment. The other thing that is on the list, and I know your other half, or your better half, is interested in one of these, is the vape kits that Harry and Liam came on a couple of weeks ago and spoke about the vape kits. Yeah. And I've allocated, obviously, a vape kit for your wife, BA, because I know you said that she has a persistent cough and she's had it a long time. So, yeah, we'll give that a go and see how she gets on with it.
Absolutely, that much appreciated. Like when you did say to me in the beginning that Harry was that there were going to be five, I think it was five that were going to be up for grabs, I did kind of throw her name in there for the simple reason she does have a persistent cough, and it's one of those coughs, Alan, that over the years I notice it, but other people notice it more. Maybe I'm immune to it at this stage. But any time that we used to look back at old video footage, you know, like Christmas and christenings and birthdays and stuff with the children, you'd always see her coughing. Well, you'd always hear her coughing throughout the video. So I said, you know, I mean, she's had it since it must be 26. Well, no, I think we're together 28 years, so she's had it for 28 years.
And, 28 years. Yeah.
28 years.
Oh my God.
And it's just, it's, when I say persistent, it's not there all the time, but there's not, like, I mean, even if anyone who listens to anything we do radio wise here, she's always forever coughing. So, you know, I mean, if we could just get rid of that, then that'd be fantastic.
You'd be sorted. Well, I don't know whether you heard the show with Liam and Harry when you were talking about it.
I did, yeah.
And obviously, Liam had a childhood issue with wheezing, and he then took bad respiratory infection. It wasn't COVID, it was something else. And I got Harry to send him a vape kit, and he now takes the vape kit, and he said not only has it improved his breathing, and the wheezing is gone. He said that childhood wheezing is gone, and he's sleeping much better as well. And friends and family have noticed it, that the wheezing is gone, and that he just feels much better in himself because of it. So, hey, give it a go. You know, I'm susceptible to that as well. And at Christmas, I had the flu, and I had the cough that was going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I had to kept on muting cough and then unmute here in the studio. And then I got the vape kit from Harry, and it did the job. So, look, I know when you heard about it, you contacted me, and I said, yeah, no problem, we can do that and see how we get on. If I just didn't know that BA had the cough that long.
Yeah, well, I'm sure over the years you've heard it. But, yeah, it's been going on since like we first met. It's always been there. Now, she does suffer and has suffered and was diagnosed years and years ago with asthma. So we do know that there is an asthma issue there as well, an underlying thing, you know. So I mean, if this vape thing from Harry can even, I mean, if it takes it away, if it absolutely cures it, then happy days. But if it kind of reduces it, then I think even that's successful.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think it will make a difference. I'm not saying it's going to get rid of it, but I think she'll feel much better with it and it'll make a difference. And to remember that it's a vaporizer. It's not smoke. You're not smoking. It's vaporizing. And there's a difference because obviously people get confused with that as well. Jim on the chat room, I'll just say to everybody on the chat room on Circle of White Light and PIR, good evening to everybody. And hello. It says, Laurie says, Carol Allen, you have to remember that when you cough, you know your lungs are doing their job correctly. Brilliant stuff, but not persistently. I'd say, Laurie, there, not persistently. Okay, so hello to everybody. If you have any questions, pop them on the chat room with a cue or question, and I'll going to read it out. It's going to be a chilled out show tonight because of the no show with the guests. So myself and Steve are just going to throw some subjects around. So throw them at us and we'll answer them. Now, Jim, funny enough, my next topic I was going to talk about, Jim on the chat room has said, would you talk about folk waking up in your experience? Lots of normies not happy about wearing masks in mine. Okay. One of the things that I have put down here that I was going to talk about later on, but I'll talk about it now. And I've put down, I've been asked about whether I go down the rabbit hole anymore. After 20 years of being awake and 10 of them doing radio, I don't feel I need to know the ins and outs of the cabal. It's enough for me now to know what they want to do to humanity. On occasion, I might take a peek, but my energies now are focused more on high-level changes taking place on the planetary level. I focus more of my time and research on comparing high-level information and cross-reference it. It's not good enough just to hear one person say something, but if multiple people are getting the same information, then it adds more proof to it, as long as these people are not getting the same information from the same source, of course. I've also said that I've heard enough from different people that we are in this quantum program, that this game has to be played out for everyone to find their way back to source and to service to others, paradigm way of thinking. As time goes on, I feel more and more will be revealed. There seems to be a shift in the media where they are not reporting, are now reporting and exposing things that are going on. I think Thomas from THI mentioned this a few years ago on his show that this would happen. The planet is being hit with a lot of energies, and as mentioned, the Lions Gate is the 8th of August. So let's see what develops over the next 2 months. So the awakening, a lot of the normies, now we call them kind of normies, there's a lot of people waking up, and because their freedoms, they're realizing that their freedoms are being taken away. You know, we want you to dance a jig, and we want you to wear pink shoes, and we want you to put a mask on, and we want you to do this, and we want you to do that. And one of the things that I posted up on Facebook just today, I think I posted it up there, was saying, I don't understand that if people are fundamentally aware that the government is not to be trusted because of all the scandals and the corruption, and they know that politicians lie, why do they still turn around and say, oh, we have to do this because the government says it? I just don't get that. If you know that the government is fundamentally, there's issues with the government in all kinds of shapes and all kinds of ways, why do people want to be still complicit with what the government say? I just don't seem to get it. And as what we do, what me, Steve, and everybody else on the chat room, what we all do, you know, as if let's call us conspiracy theorists to make it easy, but obviously it's more than that. You know, we get slagged off, we get ridiculed, we get attacked, we don't get paid for what we do. It takes up our time to do what we do. And then people say, so people need to ask the question. They should be thinking, well, why are you doing it? Because we know the government have an agenda. But why are we doing it as conspiracy theorists? Why are we doing this? Why are we taking up all this time? So the normies need to ask why we are doing it when we don't get anything out of it. If anything, we get more abuse and we get sidelined and alienated and everything else. So why are we doing it? That's what they need to ask. What's your take on it, Steve?
Well, the reason, Alan, that they're not asking that question is because of the years of brainwashing. I mean, it's very easy to say that people have been kind of brainwashed into believing that they have to wear a mask, and that this has, I mean, I would say it's only taken them 3 months to get this to happen since what, last February. But in reality, this has, a lot of people need to remember this, that in reality, this has been on the cards and has been played out on mainstream media for years. This is nothing new. We have been conditioned, and I think you coined, I don't know if you coined the phrase, but you said it before, the totalitarian tiptoe. Mm. So in order to get for us to be subservient, as a lot of people are today, they have been conditioned over years, probably decades. And they'll say, oh, no, I haven't. But, well, anytime you watch TV program, it doesn't matter what it is. There are messages in all TV programs, whether it's a cop show or whether it's a news broadcast or an expose on something. There's always messages in there. And the more that we watch them, then the more the little area in our brain where a kind of our free thought, rationale area is being eroded away, and we don't even realize it, because we think, now, that'll never happen, because if I don't like what's on channel one, I'll just switch to channel two. Well, here's a news breaker for you. Channel one and channel two and three and four and all the rest of them, they all are owned by, you know, a handful of companies, and it's the handful of companies who decide what you're going to watch. As an example, I'm not saying he hasn't been on, but I have never seen George Carlin on TV. I've seen George Carlin on YouTube, but I've never seen him on TV. I've never seen the other chap whose name escapes me at the moment, who also died. What was his name? You know who I'm talking about.
I'm sending
it to you, mental telepathy.
Bill Hicks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Bill Hicks. I've never seen Bill Hicks on TV. I've seen Bill Hicks on video, and I've seen Bill Hicks on YouTube, but never seen him on mainstream. Why? Because they had a message. They were making people laugh, but they were doing something very unique. They were educating people to the way the world is actually run, by making them laugh. And I found that a lot of times, and not just, this is not just me, I have put a few other people onto George Carlin. People who like a bit of comedy but are not into conspiracy theories. I've put them onto George Carlin and they laughed. And they come away and they said to me, gee, that's mad, because he's talking about stuff, but he made it funny. And then they were kind of questioning things like that he said. But they were kind of questioning it in the usual, well, the government wouldn't do that, would they, kind of approach. And obviously, I'd say, well, you know, that's up to you to do more research. But there's a lot of information out there. But as regards the whole waking up process, I think as the question was at the beginning there, I have seen members of my own family, as you well know this, I've seen them go from completely closed-minded. They would see what I was talking about. They would pay passing attention to the OIM shows. And then I will be kind of getting quizzed at some point in time. You don't actually believe that, do you? And I would say, well, hang on a second. I'm not going to go on and talk about it and be involved in it for 2 hours on a Sunday. And then, you know, not think about it and not, you know, look into it for the rest of the week. I said, there's no smoke without fire. And I love that saying. And over the years, my sister, brother, and father have woken up. And I learned early on, as you know, with the waking up process, all you can do is give people information. You cannot bombard them, because if you bombard them and it's not their time to wake up, they will rebel against you, and then you run the risk of losing family members and loved ones, you know, because there'll be a divide there between you. So I think my approach now is, in relation to the rabbit hole, do I still get down the rabbit hole? Well, yeah, I'll still get down the rabbit hole every now and again just to have a little poke around and see what's happening. I don't start forcing, or I don't force other people to come down the rabbit hole with me. But if anybody asks me questions, I'm more than willing to give the absolute minimum amount of information, but just enough to whet their appetite. And I always say to them, as you do as well, don't believe a word I say.
Yeah.
Do your own research, because that is absolutely paramount. Because, you know, if we say it, then all we are is repeaters, and then they'll take it on board and they'll either go, yeah, that's a load of BS, or they'll become repeaters. But we don't want repeaters. We want people to do their own independent research. And if they come up with a different conclusion, that's fine. We're all open-minded. Let's have an adult conversation about it and see why we interpreted something one way and they maybe got a different message out of it. But when I see my family waking up, it was beautiful. It was absolutely magical, because I had stopped talking to them about all the conspiratorial stuff. I didn't go there anymore, because I figured, well, they're my family and I love my family, and I'm not going to have something like this divide us because I might believe in something and they don't. So I said, I'm not going down there. We just put that off the table. We'll talk about other stuff, day-to-day stuff, you know, how are you getting on in work and the usual stuff. But when different things started to happen, and I know it's happening now on a massive scale, because you said it, the whole thing about the mandatory masks, and we know what's coming next.
Yeah.
You know, we know exactly where it's going. But when different things like the water charges, the water meters, you know, there was little things like that start opening my family's minds. And like my sister, as I've said it here before, and if anyone is new to the show, maybe this has happened to you, or if not, maybe it will. My sister had her moment. I didn't force her into waking up, but she eventually woke up herself, and it was like a light bulb moment going on. She rang me one evening, and she apologized. She said, I want to apologize. And I said, I was taken aback. I said, for what? And she said, for ridiculing you. She said, all the times when you were, you know, you were telling us stuff, I thought you were mad. I thought you'd gone off at the deep end. But she says, I'm starting to see stuff now. She said, it's like as if there was a fog, and the fog is moving. She said, I'm starting to realize and I'm starting to see stuff. And I got an apology offer. Not only did I get an apology offer, she actually, and I can't remember where this went, but we did do a Skype call where she came on, and it could be in the OAM archive somewhere, but she came on and she'd done, I think, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour of just talking about her waking up process. You know, and even now today, this must be 5-6 years ago at this stage, but even now today, she still questions everything. She'll see something and she doesn't take it at face value anymore. And I think that's beautiful, because now, obviously, when we do go to visit, our conversations are completely different. You know, we're not talking about Coronation Street. We're not talking about, you know, the weather. We're talking about the nitty gritty stuff, you know, the stuff that actually matters.
Yeah, well, one of the things, I've just jumped on the other mic here, because the article that I posted up on Facebook today, there was a kind of meme, and the meme said, and this is what it reads, and I thought it was very good, that's why I posted it up. It says, you have to ask yourself what a conspiracy theorist gains from bringing you these uncomfortable truths. We don't get paid for it. We certainly don't get thanked. We use our own time. We are hated, shouted at, mocked and alienated. At what stage are you going to ask why? And I thought, well, that was a very good meme. So I said, I will. That's the one that I posted up and obviously want to read out as well. And yeah, I mean, when the family wake up, and it's great being able to have a good conversation with them, and not talking about Carnation Street and all that kind of stuff, and touching base on a number of things out of interest. And again, keep open-minded all the time. That's the important thing. And let me just go to you, then, Mike. There you go, like that. See, that quick.
Sliding across there on the wheels.
Sliding from one side to the other, you know.
Just lucky the studio's not bigger.
Well, it was, you know, us two, wasn't it? So, it is interesting when you have family members that are away, because then you can get into the conversation and you're talking about interesting stuff, and it's stuff that you might come across, and you're educating each other, which is great. And again, always keep an open mind. And when me and you did the seminar, Steve, in Stillorgan, and the Open Mind Conference, and the presentation that we did, one of the things we said was about the path of knowledge. And some people are further down the path than others. And we can't be arrogant with that. And we can't turn around to people who are just waking up and saying, you don't need to go down that rabbit hole. You're wasting your time. There's nothing down there. People have to go down for themselves to check it out. It just, you let them do it. and just let them check it out. And, you know, when they come back up, say, look, you know, you had to do that. You had to find it for yourself. And the problem is sometimes that people who are further down the road get frustrated at people who are not as far down the road because they're trying to educate them and trying to say, you don't need to go down there. They do. People need to go down there just to find out and see it for themselves.
It's like baking a cake, Alan. I mean, you put in all the ingredients, and once you put it in the oven, you have to wait a certain amount of time before the cake is ready. Mm. You cannot rush it, and it's the same with people waking up and rabbit holes. They have to get into the oven at gas mark 5 and stay there for 40 minutes.
It has to be done. It has to be baked and take time. And again, we always say about talking to people on the level they're awake at. There's no point. If they're upset about smart meters or they're upset about 5G, etc., and then you don't go in and say, oh, well, you know about adrenochrome and human trafficking and UFOs, and it will just blow their mind. They're just not ready for that kind of information. So, and then the other thing you do is ask questions. You say, is that true? Are you sure about that? You know, and do the government have the right to do that? You think there's a law for that? And if you ask the questions more so, it gets them thinking. And that's kind of the whole idea. And more people are beginning to wake up. And I went shopping on Friday, and I went into Aldi and I went into Super Value, as I do. And I noticed that the majority of people in the shops didn't have masks on. Now, this is before the Monday. Obviously, I don't know what's going to happen next week. But I've ordered my motocross mask anyway, because somebody said to me, I was speaking to somebody today, I won't mention your name, and they said, oh, but that means you're going to be wearing a mask. And I said, no, I'm wearing a motocross mask. If that comes in, because the motocross mask is exactly what it is. It's a mesh. It's all open. You know,
That's right.
And I said, look, you know, at the end of the day, you can stand outside with your morals, and I respect that. If you want to do that and you don't want to go in and you want to ask somebody to go in to get you shopping because you've got morals and you don't want to do it, I kind of get that, right? But at the same time, what I said to this person was, I know that this, I said it earlier about the quantum program and what's going on a global scale. We have to go through this. This awakening has to happen. You know, you're not going to learn if this was a smooth ride. And this is all part and parcel of getting people to wake up and hopefully move towards service to others. So I'm not getting involved in the anxiety and the stress and the getting into arguments with people and trying to educate them with masks. What's done is done. The people that need to be awake are awake. The people who made the sole choice to stay here and experience what needs to be experienced will be here. But for the rest of us, hopefully the rest of us who've made the higher change and the move, hopefully over to the frequency change, and I'll get into talking about that in a minute because I've kind of found out a bit more information. Then that's great. But I'm not going to get into the stress and the argument and the negative energy arguing. You know, I've bought a mask which does what it says legally, that covers my nose and mouth. The fact that it has a mesh guard on it and I can breathe in with it is neither here nor there. So,
well, that's for your safety.
That's for my safety. That's it. So I'm doing my bit of Gandhi, you know, non-compliance, peaceful non-compliance, by putting a mask on that, you know, has a mesh guard on it. I'll use that. It hasn't come in yet. I'm waiting on it to come in. Hopefully it'll be in this week. And I'll be able to put it on. And that's who I'm going to deal with it. So I'm kind of being clever about it, I'd like to think.
You are. Absolutely. It is a clever idea. From what I've heard and what I've said, they can't say you have to wear a mask. They can show you a picture of a mask. But as far as I'm aware, it's being called a face covering. So anything that covers the face. So therefore, you will definitely be complying, as will anybody who has like a headscarf or anything wrapped around the neck that they can just pull up over their nose and mouth. But seemingly balaclavas are not classed as face coverings. And I'm not sure why, because, I mean, I think they do a fantastic job of covering the whole head. But seemingly, I think it was Nat West. It was a picture there on social media of Nat West, and they had a picture on their window basically saying that They had a picture of a face mask saying acceptable. Then they had a picture of a balaclava saying not acceptable.
Fantastic.
But I would argue, if you go in with a balaclava, I would say, I'm sorry, it's a face covering. No, this is not a stick up. Say we are. But did you see Alan as well on the news that pubs, a lot of the, like, if you have coronavirus, and this is where it's laughable, if you go into a pub, a bar, and you just have a couple of points, coronavirus will get you. But if you go into a bar and you order food to the value of €9, then you're safe.
You know, this is a fantastic virus. It's so intelligent, isn't it? Like our politicians. Who's that Eamon Gobshite that's on the Green Party that fell asleep?
Eamon Ryan.
I mean, seriously, people, you have to look at our politicians and go, what is their IQ level? They're pumping out this stuff. What's worse? The politicians who come out with this rubbish are the people who believe it and do it. You know, it's unbelievable. You have to kind of, hello, McFly, you know?
That's it. Hello, McFly, yeah.
I was watching the Back to the Future 2 on TV yesterday. I had a quick look at it.
Sorry, Biff. Yeah, but, I mean, there you go. Look, the pubs, our pubs are not allowed open to sell beer. It was supposed to be happening, I think, from tomorrow onwards, but it's been pushed back. But yeah, the bar in the Dáil, this is where our politicians meet. It's like Leinster House. It's wherever in your country, wherever your politicians meet, trust me, they've got a bar. Well, they have one in Dublin, in Ireland as well. And seemingly that bar never closed. So therefore, they're breaking their own rules. And I heard through the grapevine that there's a pub in Dublin called Whelan's. And he is going to open his doors tomorrow, come hail or shine. He's sick of all this because it's the guy, it's his livelihood.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't open, he doesn't have customers, he doesn't have money, therefore he goes bust.
Totally agree. And it's always one rule for them, another rule for us. Let me ask the listeners this, right? With everybody losing their jobs, a lot of the people losing their jobs, and now they're going to not be able to pay their mortgage, and then the banks are going to be chasing after them because they're not paying their mortgage. Do you know something that all the politicians, they're the ones who aren't suffering. The politicians are still getting their salary. They're still getting paid. But when it comes to everybody else, everybody's suffering or losing their job or don't have the money or getting COVID payments because of their job issue, which they're going to be probably taxed on because, you know, that's their money, not their money. But remember, the politicians are the ones, they're making the judgment call on this. And it's easy for them because they're not losing their salaries. Now, obviously, your man Barry Cowan was actually sacked. He's still a TD, though, apparently, but he's sacked because, obviously, his provisional license and his, I think it was drink driving, and he drove away from the scene. 3 months suspended. But if that was you and me, Steve, we'd get a year and probably a big fine. This,
of course, yeah.
This self-service to the politicians, they're just self-serving to themselves. All this has to come down and stop. It really, really does. And then Micheál Martin turned around. He says, I want 70 consultants, you know, advisors. 70 advisors. Why can he not make up his own bloody mind? 70 advisors. You know, honest, it gets my back up when I hear these people taking the pee all the time. And they just blatantly put it in your face. And they try and justify it all the time. I mean, this is a school teacher. Let's not forget that. Micheál Martin, he's not a businessman. He's a school teacher. And he's now running the country. I mean, I just get so annoyed at it. But I was just thinking while I remember, Steve, about...
Alan, calm down, mate.
Calm down. Give me the Xanax. Give me the Xanax. I was just thinking about the balaclava issue. I remember years ago I used to work for an advertising company. I used to do deliveries when I was a young lad. And I actually, the weather was bad. And I actually had I walked into the Ulster Bank in Dame Street, which is the centre of Dublin with the balaclava on. because the rain was kind of coming into my face. And so I had to pull it down on my face and I forgot to take it off. And I was in the queue of people waiting to cash a couple of checks. I lodge a couple of checks with the balaclava on. I'm sure the security come over and top me on the shoulder. And he said, I think you better remove that.
Unless, of course, you're robbing the bank, in which case you can skip the queue.
the things you do. But so all this stuff has gone on. The world is in major flux at the moment, and it's not surprised. And as I said, the Lionsgate, the date that somebody put out there was between the 28th of July and the 8th of August, when this celestial alignment that's going to happen between them times. And although we have these energies coming in, which are ramping up every day now, people are feeling it, feeling the energies, feeling the changes. Maybe the Lionsgate is going to be a trigger as well because of this split. If you remember, for regular listeners of Circle of Light, we had Lisa Armstrong on, and Lisa clarified what Dolores Cannon said regarding the split. And when I asked Lisa, what did it mean when she said that after, you know, July, August, 8 months, that's it? And Lisa said, we will be in the middle of the 3D, 5D split. That's what she meant by that. So if we are in the middle of the 3D, 5D split, and Laura Withward also said this, then obviously as soon as we get past the centre of that, well, on the hopefully upward spiral, not downward spiral, of the higher energies. Now, it'd be great to, you know, believe that, and I'd like to believe it, but you know what, like, as I said, let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens at the end of August. Let's see if the energies work. I also was listening to Jordan Week, you know, where our friend Pastor Paul Begley, Bama DVD, right?
Yeah,
apparently there's asteroids coming in on the 1st of September. But there's been a few of them already flying about. NASA has already been saying there's been asteroids flying about. And you never know. Could it be Project Bluebeam coming in with their fake, you know, asteroid to, you know, pretend that it's going to be an asteroid coming in? Or is it going to be a real asteroid? Is that going to be a game changer? I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But I do have a couple of things here that I want to talk about regarding Trump. What's your take on Trump? What do you think? Good guy, bad guy?
Let me put it to you this way. I don't pay that much attention to some of the things that he does or he says, but there are some things when you hear them, your heckles go up on a dog, and you think, oh, what's he saying? Like the whole thing when people were talking about the COVID-19 and he was talking, well, he alluded to the likes of, say, the med bed, or, you know, maybe some new age medicine, and I think that man is more intelligent than he lets on to be. I think he's playing the fool. This is just my own personal opinion. I'm not saying I like him or I dislike him. The jury is out on that one, but I'm saying I think he's playing the long game. I think there are so many people jumping on a bandwagon to criticize everything he does. A lot of the people who are criticizing Trump are other members, other career politicians in America who've been in power or been in government for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And they're criticizing him because I think he said he was going to drain the swamp. And over the past couple of years, he's been draining the swamp. And I think his intentions are good. I believe they are. But then, like, I might see a picture of him on the news. Not that I watch the news, but I happened to be up in a relations house yesterday, and the news was on, and I seen him wearing a mask. Now, even at that, you know, you might look at him and go, oh, he's wearing a mask now. But even at that, I still believe he's unpredictable. If I was to kind of look at Donald Trump and say, who would he remind me of? I'm going to say Howard Stern, in a way, because you just don't know what he's going to do next. You know, I think he's very unpredictable, but I believe his intentions are honourable. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of kind of things being banded around regarding Trump. Is he Black Sun faction? Is he Rockefeller, Rothschild faction? Is he not in the factions at all? And, Yeah, I've kind of been keeping an eye on what's been going on. And over the 4 years, I mean, let's face it, right? He's been in 4 years and he's done more in 4 years than most presidents have. He's also done more in 4 years than these career politicians who've been in for over 40 years. When Pelosi and all these who've been in politics for years haven't sorted nothing out. And they're having a go at Trump, and he's done more in the 4 years than he, you know, what he's been in, than what they've done in that time. Now, I have here, President Trump on Monday retweeted an accusation that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and Democrats are lying to keep the economy from coming back as a tactic for winning the election. As the administration continues to disagree on the CDC's guidelines for reopening schools and business ahead of the November election. Now, Trump he knows what's going on. And hydrochloroquine, you know that the drug that he said he was using, and he's going to get that out to the masses if needed for the virus. Now, Democratic governors in different states trying to control everything. And he's come out and actually said he has an executive order that he brought out saying making mandatory vaccines wearing unlawful. So he's superseding what the senators or the governors are doing and saying that you're not going to be forced to actually wear masks. And even though he does talk about vaccines in his talk, I think that's doublespeak. I don't think it's going to be vaccines at all. Now, there's a number of things that he's done. And he's brought in executive orders and changed things back to benefit the people, not benefit the politicians. And the amount of changes he's made in government regarding the politicians, regarding the people in Washington, that when you leave, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get that. And they're going nuts because they were on the gravy train. And what he's done, he's taken all this gravy train away from these people. And they're going mad. Plus the fact that Democrats they know all about the human trafficking and all that stuff anyway. And a lot of them are probably involved in it. Maybe some Republicans as well, but it's definitely the Democrats. And they're doing everything they can because the election is going to be happening in November. And if Trump gets back in, then they're finished. And this is why everything is happening at the moment. They're trying to bring him down. I mean, I think they said since he's been in, they've tried to kill him 25 times. 24, 25 times they tried to assassinate him. Okay. And they failed. Now, why would Trump, in all honesty, he was a billionaire, he'd businesses all over the world, right? He could have chilled out with his wife and his kids and carried on doing business. He didn't need the money, and as a president, he doesn't need the money. He could have said, no, I'm not going to run for president. I'm happy to where I am as a billionaire. He could have easily done that. Why did he do it? So, is it because what we're told is that the military approached him and said, look, you know, we need your help and we need to shut down what's going on and you're the man to do it. And when they showed him apparently the human trafficking and the child trafficking that was going on, that was enough for him to say, yeah, I'm going to get involved. I'll help you out. So here's a couple of things. President Trump is currently working on an executive order that will see the internet returned back into the hands of the people, where all censorship will be illegal. Fantastic. That means companies like Google, Facebook and all that, you know, that'd be brilliant. 4 years in power and he's done so much. On the other, career politicians have been in for decades and the only people that benefit from their laws was themselves and the 1%, and they have the audacity to take a pop at Trump. Now, if you go down the list, there's a list out there on the internet and it goes through all the things that Trump has changed and helped with people. Now, I'm not saying he's a saint, but, you know, again, the saying is, don't judge a man by who he is, judge a man by what he does. And if he's making changes and executive orders, which is going to benefit the people, then what's wrong with that?
Now, absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's the same over here with our new Taoiseach, who's going to be in for half his term anyway, Michael Martin. I mean, I don't particularly like the man because I know he has made promises in the past and he's reneged every single one of them. But if he started doing good for the country, well, then obviously my opinion of him would change because that's the way it is. That's the way I am.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the same with Trump.
But I can't see anybody in Irish politics. I really don't see it. Anybody in Irish politics to stand up and do a Trump. Now, this is, again, a rumour, and it's. I'm not saying it's true, but I'm just putting it out there for people to think about and maybe do their own research and find out about it. But apparently, Trump has now complete control over America, and he can bring in these laws now because of the position he's in and things that have happened. Emergency control or something he has, not martial law, but like soft martial law, if you want to call it that. And apparently he's in control of Boris and the UK as well. And so that's if that is the case, then that's interesting. Now, there was a comment on the chat room on People's Internet Radio, which I'm going to get, and it said, the captain said, I know the second stage will be released as they like to tell us what they're going to do. Boris just said, I don't want to order another lockdown, and I know, uppercase, people will be sensible and follow all the rules. So when he orders the next, the blame will be on us. So obviously, you know, that's good psychology from the government if that's the case. But if Boris is going to be controlled or is controlled by Trump, then maybe they are playing the 5D chess game. And they, you know, it's a long game. It's not going to be a short game. It's a long game. But they are playing it right. And bit by bit, things are changing. And we'll just have to see what develops. This whole idea of, do we know about the vaccines? Everybody knows they'd be nuts to take the vaccine because if it fundamentally changes your DNA and there's nanotech in that vaccine, then, you know, I mean, you just have to say, no, we're not going to take it. And, of course, they're politicians. I mean, seriously, they're politicians. People say, oh, but there's politicians there. They're good men. The hands are tied, but they're good men. No, they're not good men because good men wouldn't sit back and watch this crap show happen. They'd actually stand up and speak out. I mean, let's say, for example, the closing down of them abuse files for 75 years, right? Not yeah. one, 157 politicians, we have 58 in the Dáil, and not one of them politicians stood up and said, I disagree with that, because the people who are abused want them records open. So the only reason why they're closing them records, and we all know why, is because the people who did the abusing are still alive. That's why they're burying them records. There's no other reason why. It doesn't make sense. So if people think that, oh, well, we have a good politician down here. Well, if they're good politicians, they would stand up. The same with good Gardaí. People go, oh, well, there are good Gardaí. Well, why would a good Gardaí let a bad Gardaí away with what they're doing? That doesn't make them a good Gardaí. That makes them complicit to what's going on. So how can they be a good Gardaí? So this is why we need to look at the psychology and look again at what's going on. And even if the politicians did it on the QT or they did it as a whistleblower and did something like QAnon and sent emails to somebody and said, look, this is, you know, who I am. I'm not going to give you any more details, but this is what's going on, and release it in some kind of way as a whistleblower, even in privacy, you know, if it's private. That would be a step in the right direction, but it's not happening. So I really don't know. So years ago, I don't know about you, Steve, but years ago when I heard about this, you know, the world changing, and we all heard about Nirabu and the flooding of the planet and all that kind of stuff. And I was saying to myself at the time, that doesn't make sense. You know, if there is a divide between the good people and the bad people, or the awoke people and the unawake people, if there's a divide, it doesn't make sense, because if the place flooded, now, I, you know, Steve would have a neighbour and I could have a neighbour that could be serviced itself. So that to me wasn't logical. It didn't make sense. But there had to be something that was based on an individual basis that everybody would be affected by it. And depending on who they are and their intent and the frequency they're on would make the difference between whether they go down or up, like stay on 3D or up to 5D or whatever, right? Frequency change. So when I start hearing about this Dolores Cannon stuff, and then other people start telling me about the frequency change, I thought, now that kind of makes sense to me, because that means it doesn't matter where you are or where you live. It's all based on you as an individual and your frequency and your energy. And then that made more sense. Now, I did come across a story during the week as well, that in the story, the guy said there was other planets in the universe. I think Sirius was one of them. Was it Venus or Sirius? One of them that actually went through this process already, where the population of the planet, only a small percentage did a frequency change and the rest didn't. So I'm not saying, I'm just putting it out there as a topic of conversation. I have no way of telling you or confirming any of this at all whatsoever. We'll find out if it happens, then we'll know it's, you know, it's real. But it's interesting to talk about it and throw it around and then do the research and see what everybody's saying. But I did come across an interview by a lady, and I've asked her to come on the show, called Laura Walker. And there's a YouTube channel called, believe it or not, PIR. Funny enough, it's not got to do with People's Internet Radio. It's called It's called PIR, and the lady's called Laura Walker. And she said that she doesn't deal in hopium. She deals in what she gets, the information she gets through. And she talks about the energies hitting the planet, and she talks about people disappearing or people, you know, not being around. Now, I did speak to a guy in Poland called Stanislaw, who's involved with THI Poland. Really nice guy. He's a following of 100,000 people, and he's on Polish TV. And I spoke to Stanislaw, and I said, well, the rumour is about 15%. Now, you and me, Steve, we've done interviews over the years, and we've asked this question to a number of guests, and it was always between 9% and 15%, I think, they talked about the people. Now, Stanislaw said to me, he said, no, it's 5%. 5% of the population. And he showed me a chart, and it was like a kind of ski slope. And it was 2020 and 2021. And he said, if it doesn't happen this year, it'll happen next year. And I said, well, where will all the rest of the people go? He said, they'll just die off. You know, or they'll just, you know, just die off, I think he said. Now, isn't it funny that all these people who are the normies and wearing the masks, there's people going to A&E in the UK apparently with this condition called fungus lung because of its excessive use with the masks. So wouldn't it be funny if your system, their immune system, well, it's not funny, but if their immune systems were compromised and that caused more serious symptoms and then they did pass on?
And sure as... I was going to say something rude there, but as sure as SH, you know, on their death cert will be COVID-19, and there's people wearing the masks, the paper masks. We all know if you're a doctor doing an operation, yeah, they're great, but not if you're going to be wearing them during the day. And someone did have information on Facebook saying that the World Health Organization had said people should not be wearing masks while they're outside in open spaces. So rather than just like it and share, I went onto the WHO website. I think it's who.org. And there's nothing on their website that I could find saying that you should not wear masks outside. However, the information that they did have about masks was pretty much saying that the mask will not affect your intake of oxygen, which I find that hard to believe. But that's neither here nor there. But what they did say is that if you wear a mask, you should dispose of it after wearing it for 20 minutes because it will be significantly damp just from your breath after 20 minutes. And if you keep wearing it, then they did kind of say that you run the risk of other problems. Now, they didn't say what it was. Obviously, it's the fungus lung or the spores. But that's what they're saying. I mean, that's kind of coming from them. Not that I have a lot of credence in what they say, but it does make a lot of sense that if you're going to wear something on your face that is going to become damp, then, you know, we all know dampness is not a good, no matter where it is, it's not good because there are problems that arise from it.
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe down the line, people were all this, and apparently just chemicals and sanitizer, which is not good for you either. So all these people sanitizing all the time. This is why we have an immune system, folks. This is why we survived all these years, you know, because germs are everywhere. Literally everywhere, you know, people go, I'm going to sanitize. And then their dog or their cat comes in from outside who's just been kind of licking themselves or, you know, maybe, you know, eating something that's not nice. And then you come in and start licking your face. I mean, animals, I've a cat and it, you know, Steve has a dog and they're out and about and they're rolling on the ground and everything. I mean, we've germs all around us. That's why we have an immune system. And if people are staying in with their masks on and sanitizer, then when some kind of disease comes out, some bacteria that's going to affect you in some way, your immune system's going to be compromised. So in all honesty, this is why I don't use the sanitizer. And of course, there's the girls or the guys at the cash register. You know, you go to the checkout. And they have the mask on and they have this big plastic thing there. And then what do they do? You have your you've sanitized your hands. Well, I don't, but they do. Some people do. And of course, the checkout people are touching all your food. So they have this mask on, but they're touching all your food at the same time, you know? You put it in, you know, you can't get away from bacteria. It's everywhere. It really is everywhere. So it's just a point. For me, anyway, I feel it's a pointless exercise. Keep your immune system strong.
It is. I just say we've grown up with this. We've acclimatized to all the bacteria. There are certain bacteria that are on our bodies and in our bodies every day, probably thousands. Like, I mean, people talk about your gut bacteria. We have bacteria in our gut and it aids digestion. And there are certain bacteria that are very good for us and essential for life on this planet. And obviously there are other bacteria that'll make you sick, give you a dicky tummy. Mm. But if you are so super sanitized, you're barely breathing the air that's been given to us by God or a higher power or a creator. And the creator obviously said, This is the fuel you need to keep you alive, to circulate the oxygen around every part of your body. So that's what you need. I mean, if it needed to be filtered or, reduced in any way, I'm sure our creator would have taken that into account when he put us here, he or she or it or they or whatever. This thing that's going to come into play now tomorrow, the masks. Yeah, you're going to go into a shop, and I foresee it here. What we've seen in some of the videos in the US, where they will have a marshal at the door, and it'll be a case of, you need to A, put your mask on, B, sanitize your hands, and then you can enter the shop. And if you go, well, I'm not putting on a mask, and I'm not sanitizing my hands, well, then I believe that we will be denied entry. And so the only people that will be in shops then will be mask wearers. So therefore, everyone who goes into a shop is going to be wearing a mask. So they're going to think that's the new norm, further hammering at home that everyone else is wearing them, you know, even though you or I or whoever else has been refused entry.
Yeah, well, again, as I say, what's the point in getting stressed out over it? Is what it is. And I know people will have morals and they'll go, oh, I'm not going in there, you know, because, I disagree with this. Well, that's fine, but don't bite your nose off to spite your face. If you have a family and you need to feed them, that's priority. Not, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, I respect people's stance on it. But look, if you have one of these masks, right, you go in with the mask on, and when you get in the actual supermarket or the shop, just drop the mask down over your, you know, so it's your nose is sticking out, and just breathe through your nose. You know, I mean, use a bit of kind of logic and do that, you know, just, you know, because your family and your food and your survival is more important. You know, and so that's one way of doing it. There's a question here from Peter on the chat room, and Peter wants to know a question. Alan, have you heard any more about the free energy device you were talking about a few months back? I think you said it stopped someone coughing. It was someone you know, I think. Well, if you're talking about the vape kit, Peter, yes. If you go and listen to the show with Liam and Harry a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the vape kit there, so you can find the information about the vape kit. It's the one I used and it stopped my coughing, and it's the one Liam used and it stopped his wheezing and coughing, and he's sleeping much better. So if you want to check that show out there, you'll have that information. I'm pretty sure that's the one you were talking about. Harry did ship out the 5 free kits. He just sent me a message during the week, by the way. He said they have been shipped. So when they come in, I will be distributing out the actual vape kits to the people that were first in the queue there. Now, the other question is, do you think the virus, if you believe it is, if you believe it to be, is just an excuse for an economic restart of the world? Well, again, part of this, everything that's going on about the financial system reset and the banking system and everything else, there's a lot going on at the moment. And is it a case, I mean, there's word on the street that Trump wants to flatten the currencies. And what I mean by flatten the currencies means that a euro will be equal to a dollar, which will be equal to a pound, which will be equal to a peso. You know, this is what is being banded around. He wants to flatten the currency so there's no money to be made on the currency. And obviously we need to go back to the gold standard as well, because it's a debt-based currency at the moment. So, and they're talking about a new dollar coming out, which will replace the old dollar, because the old dollar was debt-based. And maybe we'll be gold back. So there's a lot of talk about that. So, and there's going to be upheaval. I would say to people that buy an extra few tins of food, have at least a week's worth of food, at least a week's worth of food, if not 10 days, if you can. I mean, I know food costs money, and if you don't have the money, you can't afford it, and that's understandable. I love these guys on YouTube, Steve, that go, yeah, you better get gold and silver. And you think, look, I'm just about able to afford to buy bloody food. I can't go and buy gold and silver.
Yeah. Do you remember the shops that popped up years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Where they were all buying your gold, cash for gold, in every supermarket and every shopping mall. They were all buying your gold. And I think we that must be easily the best part of 10 years ago at this stage. And I know we've done a show, we mentioned that, and we said there's something going to be coming down the line in the future, because they're not buying all that gold for nothing. Something is obviously going to happen, and I'm sure it will. Oh, by the way, you were saying about the dollar will be equivalent to the euro, to the pound, and the peso. I wasn't even sure if the peso was still in use, so I had to just look it up, and it is. Well, one Mexican peso is equal to 0.039 euro.
Mm.
So they'll be happy.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know how he's going to do it, because the economies in different countries are different, especially when you have the GDP and the money they get from taxes and what they manufacture and produce. You know, like, yeah. You know, the GDP and the economy is different in Germany than it is with Greece. So how can you have the Deutschmark, say, for example, equal to the, I don't know what's in Greece, was it?
Drachma. They're euro now, aren't they?
Well, you know what, I'm trying to use that as an example, right?
I know,
yeah. So, you know, because if you have countries with different economies, how can you have the same kind of flat financial structure? Now,
I think it'd be very difficult.
Yeah, it would be. I'm not too sure. You know, again, that's just kind of hearsay. That's gone around the internet. I don't know how true that is, but I'd like to know how he's going to do that, you know, because it's, I suppose it'd be good if it did, because if all currencies are equal the same, then, you know, that kind of makes makes it even for right across the board for countries. And trading might be easier when it comes to trading with each other. There's also one of the politicians in the UK Parliament has asked to have Brexit extended by 2 years because of the coronavirus issue. They felt that kind of delayed or affected what was going on. So they've asked for an extension of 2 years. Now, I don't know whether that will go forward, whether people want that or whether they don't want that. So we'll have to see what happens there. And Peter said on the chat room that it wasn't the vape kit, it was something else. Okay, I don't know, Peter. Maybe if you remember, just drop me a message and I'll let you know. I don't think there's anything else, any other cough, something to solve coughs. Unless it was, well, it's not colloidal silver, because sometimes you can use that for bacterial stuff as well. So there you go, Steve. So that's really what's happening at the moment. I am keeping an eye on all the kind of Trump thing that's going on. X22 report seems to do reports there. And also there's a few other places that are going on and saying what's going on with Trump. And the lady who's the press secretary, the press secretary in the White House, she seems to be right on the ball and very sharp and takes down the media. Now, I will say to everybody, keep watching the American media, and because I'm noticing, and I don't know whether everybody is noticing this, but I'm noticing that the media is slightly beginning to change and start reporting the truth. Especially Fox News seems to be coming out and calling out the Democrats and calling out things that are going on. And we can go, yeah, that's true, because we know that's what's going on. You know, so we can relate to it. Now, RTE. RTE, Steve.
Enough said, Alan, enough said.
RTE, oh my God. RTE is what I always call the poor man's BBC. I don't watch it. I never watch it. I haven't watched it for 10 years. I don't listen to RTE. It's just complete rubbish. Why? Well, you go and say what you said the other day. When we were talking, myself and Steve were down in the men's shed on Saturday. We had a bit of a conundrum to try and work out and how to fix an antenna and our work around an antenna. And you were saying about RTE, about the difference between the BBC and the RTE.
Alan, I do remember we were in the men's shed and we were fixing an antenna. We had a bit of a conundrum there. That is absolutely correct. What did I say about RTE? I'll be totally honest with you. I pay very little attention to RTE, so I don't even rate it. What did I say?
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. I thought you were going to say I actually pay very little attention to what you say.
Well, is that as well? Yeah.
No, you said about the fact that the BBC doesn't advertise, but RTE does.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. We were. There's more controversy hitting the Facebook and social media and all that in relation to RTE there. As anyone who lives in Ireland will know, we pay, well, when I say we as in the people who are probably going around wearing the masks. And I shouldn't have said that. And you know what? I said it, and I should apologize. I'm kind of cramming them all into the one group now because I'm saying that's not fair. So I apologize for that. But we are required to pay, well, allegedly, a television license fee of 160 euros per year. You know, and that it goes to the good people in RTE because they have exorbitant salaries. And every time you watch the news on RTE, it comes up at the end of the news. Made possible by your license fee, you know. So you're actually paying for your own brainwashing. But in the UK, there's also a license fee with the BBC, and the BBC is kind of funded by the license payers, the license fee. So therefore, they don't show ads; they don't need to advertise. However, in Ireland, RTE are funded by the license fee. Plus, they show advertisements, which when you look at it and then you see what the salaries are in RTE, some of them are on like $500,000 a year, and some are on more, some are on less. But you know, I mean, and that's for celebrity talent here in Ireland, the likes of who has the Late Late Show now, Ryan Tuberty. Ryan Tuberty, a couple of years ago, I don't even think anyone heard of him. He's not very entertaining. In fact, he's just like another carbon copy of the likes of Pat Kenny, who also done the Late Late Show over here. You know, it's like they're all carbon copies of each other. Mm. And they have massive salaries. And it's all paid for by us. So we are actually paying. You see, that's probably another thing why a lot of people would watch RTE. Because they probably figure, well, I'm paying for it, so I'm going to watch it. So therefore, you're paying for your own brainwashing, as I said. So, I don't know.
Exactly, and
what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, like you, I don't listen to RTE, and it's just honest, it's a waste of money. a waste of money. And the majority of people, the vote was that people voted on whether we needed RTE. And I think the vote was about 92% of people said no, we don't need it. You know, if, I prefer not to pay the license and we don't need it. And but one guy, fair play to him, you know, he said, ah, but I'd miss the Angelus, you know. And the bongs at 6 o'clock. God, I remember that as a kid, you know. And then at the end of the TV when it's over as well, they used to play the national anthem. Remember that, Steve, years
ago?
Showing our age, good God. So many changes.
Yeah, that's when we did when we didn't have 24-hour TV channels. It was, I think it was at 11:30 at night they used to close. And they'd say goodnight to you.
They'd say goodnight, yeah. And then the national anthem would come on. And I always knew as a kid that meant that it was late at night. It must be late because the national anthem was on. Never stood for it, obviously, you know, because...
Even the likes of that, now you think about the national anthem being played, and it's customary that whenever the national anthem was played, you stand up. And years ago in Ireland, when the TV did shut down, it was the last thing on. So once the national anthem was played, you knew... The television was closed down, and after the national anthem was finished, just in case you had fallen asleep watching TV, there used to be I don't know what the frequency was, but a tone that was sent out through the speaker at such a range or frequency in the hertz or whatever to wake you up. So you obviously knew after the national anthem that was going to happen, so you did stand up. And you didn't even realise you were getting programmed to stand up to go over to switch off the television. Because back in those days, we didn't have remote controls. Well, we didn't.
Yeah, I was a remote control.
Change the channel.
Yeah, you had to get up and change the channel. I remember Not the 9 o'clock News doing a skit with that. And they said, good night from the BBC. And then you hear the, ooh. And then they go behind the black card. And Ronan Atkinson is in his pajamas with his finger on the glass of water going around the rim going, ooh. That's brilliant. But, so the broadcasters, you know, obviously I'm not going to waste my time with them. Now, the other day I had an interesting conversation with Pat Green, who's the leader of the DDI party. For people who don't know DDI, it's Direct Democracy Ireland. In our original Irish constitution in 1919, we had recall and we had the right to referendum. And a couple of years ago, they had a big protest on saying reinstate 48, which is to give these options back to us in the constitution. And I asked Pat, honestly, about DDI, and I said, but with everything going on at the moment, where's DDI? What's happening with DDI, with the party? And unfortunately, DDI is not a party that's funded. It's not funded by any government funds. It's all just people power. But the problem is, and it's disappointing, it really does disappoint me, that people, they don't want to put the energy in, they don't want to take the time. They don't want to, even though the country's going to, in a handbasket, right, people don't want to put the time in. Oh, I'm too busy. You know, again, it goes back to that little red hen principle that I've talked about before. You know, the little red hen about baking the bread. She asked all the farmyard animals to help her. And all the animals said, no, I'm too busy. I'm watching TV or what have you. And then she goes off and does everything herself, bakes the bread. And when she says, does anybody want a piece of bread? And they said, yeah, we'd like a piece of bread. And she tells them to get lost. That's the little red hen principle. And I met up with... Anto was donated a mixing desk to the radio show. Thanks, Anto, for doing that. I could use on remote situations, or myself and Steve could use for the local community radio. We have to give that a spin, give it a try, see how we get on. But Anto said he was talking to his son, and his son said to him, somebody should do that. And Anto said, but you're somebody. You know, a lot of people go, somebody should do that and somebody should do that. And Anto's right, you're somebody. Why don't you do it? And they go, I know. Somebody else should do it. No, you're somebody. You should do it. And that's the trouble. It's all about energy. Psychologically, we are predefined from Neanderthal man to take the least path of resistance, which is always the one that is less energy. And that's the problem. you know, about some people are good at taking the energy to do things. Other people are taking the energy, are not that good at taking the energy to do things. And I always say, if you're asked to do something, if you want to know if you have an interest in something, if you, somebody asks you to do something and your first thought is, how can I get out of this? Or what excuse will I use? Then you know that that's not, you know, something that obviously you're in, you're not interested in. But the problem is that if we all take that approach to what's going on in Ireland, then nothing's going to get done. And you get the government you vote for. And this is the problem. So I would say to everybody, in all honesty, and I've done it, I've deregistered, Ben Gilroy's deregistered, and even Ben is saying it now to everybody, deregister, stop playing their game. Stop playing their, that registrating and voting is playing their game. And I'm not even sure whether the voting is legit, to be honest with you. In all honesty, I mean, allegedly speculation, what I've been told, that about boxes being swapped in and out. So I've been told. So I'm not playing their game anymore. I don't play their game. And that's it. And that's what it is. It's a game. It's their game. Now, people can get together, you know, like I'm doing with the Pay It Forward, and what me and Steve did on OIM Radio is to donate some funds to help local groups. And even then, and I want to thank everybody who does donate. That's the first and foremost. Thank you, everybody who does donate. But most people don't donate. You know, if there is a problem that you can't afford €1, then by all means, I'll pay it for you, because, you know, things are bad if you can't afford €1. But we as people can help each other. We don't have to wait for the government. You know, if 10,000 people were donating €1 a month, how many people could we help? And Steve, you've seen that. You know, the donation has been made to the Tidy Towns, and the donation has been made to the Men Shed as well. And the benefit that even though it's a small amount of money, it's a benefit all the same.
Absolutely. I mean, people, like, I'm sure a lot of people would say, well, shit, Jesus, I can only give €1. Shit, that's not going to make it. That won't make any difference. If I could give like 20 quid or 50 quid, well, hang on, stop the lights. As Alan just said, the €1, it does work. And never feel ashamed. I mean, you know, if somebody was outside begging and all they wanted was a cup of tea, so, you know, something to warm them up, and you had €1 and you gave them €1, that will buy them a cup of tea, warm them up, and probably save their life. And so, you know, never kind of go, well, I don't want to just donate €1 because I look scabby. No, you don't. You look like you actually care enough to make a donation. And no matter how big or how small, it all helps. And I know, like, we often joke about the Tesco quote, but every little does help. And when I look back from the time Alan and I were, you know, we kind of got involved when the whole OIM thing, and we ran with that. And when I look back and I realise, of all the donations that did come in over the years, how many people we were able to help, who otherwise, for all I know, could have died. Like when we done the sleeping bag appeal, and we went, if you remember, we went in with Aisling, we went into Dunn's Stores, and Aisling gave her sales pitch, and I think you chipped in as well, and I was just watching the two of you, you know, and you've got this woman to, you know, to agree that if we bought X amount, that she would throw in X amount, and it was all very, you know, amicable. It was nice. It was a nice, positive, happy feeling. And for all we know, that sleeping bag could have meant the difference between life and death for whoever received one of them. We don't know. So, I mean, €1, or it doesn't even have to be €1. I mean, 50 cent. It's a case of whatever you have, whatever you can afford. No one is saying that you should or you're obliged to do it, but only if you want to do it. But rest assured that no matter how much you donate, no matter how small it is, it will help somebody who's less fortunate.
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, if you donate €1, only 66 cents of that comes in because PayPal get their cut. But look, I'd rather €1 than nothing. And what I try and do on the Pay It Forward, and what me and Steve did in with OAM as well, is We put it up on social media to show the transparency, the show has been done, and the groups that get the donation obviously do it on their Facebook page, and they let people know, because transparency is very has to be upfront, it has to be there. And I know people are kind of fed up with charities, because when you hear that CEOs are getting 250k a year, and you think, I'm not, you know, donating to that, or else you get these adverts, and you know, they're saying only €3. We just want €3 a month to save the goldfish, you know, or whatever the bloody animal is, or whatever. Now, I'm sorry that that's going on, but I'm a big believer of charity begins at home, and we have to help our own people in our own country first. And if people don't like that, that's okay, that's fine. But I am a big believer that we should be helping our own homeless and our own people first.
And we should be, because our government, when you see our government, they're fond of getting, you know, millions and billions and sending it over to other countries for aid, while our own people are left to rot and die on the street.
Exactly.
But it's all about how it looks to the other countries. Ireland is great. Ireland donated 30 million. We had a flood over here in some fictitious place here, as an example. Ireland jumped on board and says, 30 million, there you go, you get that sorted. And it makes us look good to other countries, you know, who then probably, we all know why they do it. It's a case of, look what we can do. We're so flush at money. You want to set up business here? Yeah, come on over. Well, corporation tax? Well, we don't even charge any. In fact, we fight tooth and nail so that any profit that, that any tax you may owe us, we won't even take it off you.
Sure, there you go. We're so flush with money, Steve. We won't even take 14 billion off Apple tax.
Yep.
You know?
We don't need it, Alan. We don't need it.
We're flush with money. Listen, when we're finished the show, I'll jump in my Rolls Royce and I'll drive down to you, all right? Because the Irish people...
I won't even hear that. I'll send the Bentley up to bring you down.
Thank you very much. You know, make sure you have the Chardonnay on cold, on ice, by the way.
As always, Alan. As always.
But, you know, folks, it's going to get to the time with these energies changing. It's all part of us learning to become service to each other, right? Service to others and to help. We have to help each other, because that's where we're going. That's where we have to go, whether we like it or not. If people don't know, I know everybody listens to the show are great people, and so many people have helped. Both OAM and Circle White Light, it's been fantastic. And, you know, thanks again. But I don't know if you can give me a suggestion or an idea to try and how do I say to people, look, can you donate €1? What is stopping you donating €1? Is there anything that you want to see? Is there any evidence you want to see? Do you want to see? That's why I put everything up on Pay It Forward, and me and Steve did it on OIM for transparency to show the money coming in. So if our regular listeners and our listeners can come up with a suggestion, how can we get people to donate €1? I know people, they'll go in and have their Starbucks coffee or their Insomnia coffee, and you'll buy this and buy that for €5 or €6. But what is the problem with €1, that's all. And if we had 10,000 people donating €1, how many people could we help? And that's, we don't even have to go near the government. This is people power helping each other. And even, you know, maybe we could make a donation. I know some people might like DDI, some people might not. We'd have to check that into that. But I think there are good people in DDI, and they want to do the best thing possible for the people of Ireland. And they are short on funds. Maybe there could be some fundraising or fund towards, you know, give them a donation. And if it's used properly and transparency, you know, is applied, and we can see where the funds are going, then maybe we can help them, and maybe we can get them up and running. But with the rule of thumb will be transparency all the way. That's the way it has to be. It just was a great feeling for everybody who donates, and the work that me and Steve did on OEM and donating to charities and seeing them benefit. I mean, when we did the sleeping bags, Steve, you know, I mean, for homeless, they didn't know where they came from. They didn't know who we were from Adam. No. All they knew is that they had something that they could use to sleep, to keep them warm. And that was such a great feeling. You know, not that we were given to get something back or anything like that, purely they didn't care who they came from as long as they had something to use. The same with the food. They don't care where the food comes from as long as they can have food and eat it. And this is the great thing about being able to give and being able to help. And that's not really all we wanted to do. That's all I want to do, a Circle of White Light. That's all. I'm sure Steve will probably get involved anyway. Somewhere along the line, the two of us would probably be involved and doing things. But it's all about helping. It's all about helping each other. And we all have to step up to the mark and help each other. That's the way forward is. That's where 5D, that's where we're going. And if we can't do that, then we're staying on 3D. So, answers on the postcard from the listeners. If there's any way that you can think of, or something that we can help inspire people to, you know, donate €1 a month, it'd be fantastic. So there you go, Steve. You know, well done for coming on, by the way, and thanks for jumping in. I haven't heard anything from the guest, unfortunately. I will contact her and find out what happened, because I don't know.
I know you will. She'll feel your wrath.
No, I'm not going to have a go with her, because something could have happened and she couldn't get on. And it could be her nerves got the better of her. And she probably thought, no, I'm not going on. I'm too nervous.
She probably seen your profile picture and says, no, he looks like he'll give me a grilling.
No, I said to her that it'd be like having a chat down the pub. It's not really an interview. We'd be having a chat, but...
Well, maybe she felt that in that case you were going to be sitting 6 feet apart and wearing masks.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it, yeah. Maybe what we need to do is, when we wear the masks, we should get our anonymous masks on and put them on.
I actually have mine. I said if at any point in time it's suggested that I need to wear the mask, then that's the one that I'll be wearing.
Cool.
Because I feel that's the sort of mask you can wear, and it makes a statement as well.
Yeah, we'll have to. My mask is here, so I might keep that, you know, in the car just in case. I'm going to keep you on, because next week, you do want to hazard a guess who might be on next week, Steve?
Next week. It's hardly Donald Trump, is it?
No. Try again.
Me?
You, yeah.
Oh, right. You're going to keep me here. You're going to keep me on until next week.
You're going to go on. That means I have to pay you overtime, you know?
Yes, you will.
So, well, the plan of attack is for next week on the show is that Steve and a friend of ours called Andrew, who's also a licensed amateur radio chap, we end up, when Steve is driving home from work, we normally have a chinwag, we normally have a chat, and Andrew jumps in and the three of us are having a chat about the world and everything else. So I just thought, you know what, it'd be good getting the two lads in the studio, Steve and Andrew, in the studio, because Andrew has a lot of knowledge and he has a lot to say about what's going on. Now, I didn't get a chance to contact Andrew. He wasn't on the radio on Friday, and he might be tuning into this, I don't know, this show. So Andrew, if you're tuning in, switch on tomorrow at the usual time and I'll have a talk with you. But the plan of attack is to, for next week anyway, because you never know what happens or what's around the corner. But the plan of attack is to have Steve and Andrew on next week in the studio together with our coffees and cups of teas, a bottle of water for Steve. And we will be talking about the world and get Andrew's take on things as well. But, you know, sometimes there are issues with guests, and there was a guest that Andrew wanted me to get on. I'm not going to say his name. I'll keep that private. But so I emailed this chap and I said, apparently he's great information. And I emailed the chap and I said, I'd love to have you on the show. Would you mind coming on? And then he sent me an email saying, I don't do interviews. Very kind of short, sharp and blunt. So I sent an email back to him and I said, I appreciate that. That's not a problem at all. Did something happen with another show or guest? I said, can you let me know what happened? Would you mind telling me what happened? Because I might learn from that, you know, just in case if I'm approaching somebody else. I just wanted to find out. And then I got an email back from this guest or this person who said, I seen your website. Do you not think I would have checked your website? And all the people you've had on are all spooks.
Well, he's entitled to his opinion.
He is.
You know what, that's all the more reason for him to come on.
Exactly. And I said, well, why don't you come on and tell us why you feel that way? Why you feel they're all spooks and everything else? But he never kind of got back to me. And, you know, and this is the joys over the years, even with OAM, Steve, that when, you know, some guests are really great and they come on, and other guests you get like that. Then you have other guests that will say, the first thing they'll say is, how many listeners do you have? So yeah. That's the ego kicking in. So when that happens, I normally say, about 100,000. Easy, 100,000, right? Because if they're going to apply their ego and ask that question, I'll apply my ego and give them the answer that they want to hear.
Yeah.
Right? And unfortunately, there are very few guests that have actually said that, but there have been guests that have asked that question.
And, you remember as well, Alan, that there was a lady, and her name is escapes me at the moment, but I'm sure you'll remember, who you reached out to a couple of years back, and she normally doesn't do interviews, but you reached out, and she said just she got a feeling when she read the email that she just felt, I need to do this. But I can't remember her name. And she came on and we had a fantastic interview. As you say, it was kind of like sitting around a table, you know, with a bunch of friends.
Yeah. It wasn't Carol Roslin, was it?
I think it was.
Dr. Carol Roslin. Well,
yes, I think it was.
I call it, yeah. See, when you have a guest and you have to kind of talk to them and get them to get used to you, because sometimes they don't want to come on. And I fondly call that. I fondly call that conversational foreplay.
All right.
That's the foreplay. That's conversational foreplay over email that you have to do to get them relaxed and comfortable. And they feel, yeah, okay, I like this person. Now I'll come on the show. And sometimes, and you know, hopefully that doesn't really be needed very often, but it's I've had to do it a few times. But then you get people like this guy who's, you know, he might have great information, and surely I think I said to him, why don't you share this information, this great information that you have? Why don't you come on the show and why don't you share the information with the listeners? And no, he's obviously not interested. So I really don't know what goes through these people's minds. You know,
well, that's a pity, because, I mean, if he's anything like us, obviously he wants to plant seeds and he wants to educate people and open their minds and let them see what's going on. He doesn't even have to convince anybody. He's getting an invitation to come on and share his knowledge on a platform called Open Your Mind, where everybody who listens in is open-minded. I'm not saying he'd be preaching to the converted, but he could have shared the knowledge that he has. You know, maybe we could have gleaned something from it. But unfortunately, I suppose that's the way it is. But who's to say, you know, maybe give him a couple of months, he might reconsider it and drop you in it. You might even get an email out of blue. You never know.
He might check it out and he might listen to a few interviews. And you know, even though he said that, oh, all the guests are spooks. And I thought, well, maybe they think you're a spook.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it, you know, swings and roundabouts is just the way it is. So, folks, there you go. That's the plan of attack for the show next week. Hopefully, if we get Andrew on, if Andrew's available, we will, because it'd be good having the three of us here, and then we'll throw around and we'll do a bit of research, Steve. I think we'll do a bit of research during the week so we can talk about afresh of some things or updates anyway. We'll be able to talk about how we got on with the masks in the shops over the week, because that's going to be interesting to see what develops and what happens and anything else that, you know, what we come across. But so what have you got planned? You still have your show. You might as well give out your details there to your show and what's going on.
Right. Well, I'm still going to be doing my show with my Mrs. Barbara Ann. We do a show on Thursdays from 7:30 in the evening till 9:30 GMT. It's called Two's Company. There's an associated website called twoscompany.eu. You can check that out. And we also run a Saturday night quiz, which is formerly the quarantine quiz for during the lockdown. We're still actually running that. It's still quite popular. That is streamed live on Clonmelan Community Radio and also on People's Internet Radio on Saturday evenings from 10 p.m. till midnight. Although, of course, last night's show, we had Dermot Henry here in the studio. So it went on from until I think it was about 1:15. But we were having fierce cracks, so we were.
My
not
God.
To be missed.
1:15. Well, you know my bedtime. You know what I'm like with my bedtime.
You were asleep by that stage.
I was asleep before you even started. You know, it is what it is, I suppose. Okay, folks, listen, from myself, Alan James, and my brother from another mother.
Yeah, can I just say a big shout out to everybody on both of the chat rooms? I was logged into the CI Circle of White Light chat. I wasn't actually logged into the PIR chat because, as I said, I was actually doing some work here on the PC. So, love to every one of you. You all know who you are, and you can feel my love.
Wow. I won't say anything about that. Okay. So, you know what I was going to say there, Steve? 73s. I think I'm on the radio too much. I'm actually bringing in slang from the actual amateur radio. Okay. Listen, for myself, Alan James, take it easy. Have a great week. Stay safe. Don't get too stressed about the virus and the masks. Remember, the world is changing and there's positive things happening. Do the research there. Check it out. But there are good things coming down. We just have to play out this game, you know, for a period of time. I'm sure at Christmas we'll look back and go, what a ride that was for 2020. What's next on the agenda? Okay, so take care, everybody, and have a good one. Steve's going to hang on for a few minutes. We're going to have a quick catch-up after. Next coming up on PIR, I think Barry might be on, but I'm sure it's going to be a good show anyway. So take care. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.